KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy, 1 degree above zero. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Well, the Daily Nonpareil reports a fund has been established for a Hancock family that was displaced after their house burned down earlier this month. 37-year-old Sim Bird and three of her children were in their mobile home at 126 North Scott Street when the fire broke out at around 5:40 p.m. on February 3rd. All four got out safely thanks to an alarm from a smoke detector. Sim's oldest daughter and her fiancé, Charles, were not at home at the time of the fire. The Hancock, Oakland, and Avoca volunteer fire departments had been called to the scene. Despite their efforts, though, the contents of his home were a total loss, and donations can be made to any U.S. bank under the Charles R. Byrd beneficiary. A spaghetti dinner will be held 4 p.m. March the 8th at the Legion Hall in Avoca. There's no cost to attend that. However, the family will accept donations. The family also received support from the AHSC Community School District, where their children attend school. Students in the district held a clothing drive and delivered those items to the family. News time is 8:01.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
Melanie Petty, the mother of Trevor Fredrickson, says applications are now being accepted for the 5th annual Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Scholarship. Applications may be obtained from the Atlantic High School Guidance Office or the Atlantic High School's website at www.atlanticiaschools.org. Two $750 scholarships are available to those graduating from AHS in the spring of 2014. Applicants must plan to attend a college or vocational school, show involvement in school and or community activities, supply a copy of their college acceptance letter, provide two letters of reference along with their seven semester transcripts, and maintain a GPA of 2.5 or higher. The scholarships will be awarded at the Atlantic High School's class night, which is in May. Funds for the scholarship are raised at the annual golf tournament. Plans are already in the works for the 6th annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament to be held on Saturday, August 9th. The organizers look forward to another successful tournament so they can continue to grant scholarships for many years to come. A bit of a background for those of you that don't know, Trevor Fredrickson had graduated from the Atlantic High School in 2006. He went on to further his education at Southwestern Community College, where he studied automotive mechanics and played baseball for the Southwestern Spartans. And two additional $750 scholarships will be available for Southwest Community College students this fall. In an update to our story on February 4th, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources reports a meeting over the Iowa Communications Network, or ICN, designed to gather the public's thoughts on the hunting and trapping regulations for this fall that was originally scheduled to be held at the St. Albert High School in Council Bluffs, has now been moved to the Lewis Central Middle School. Also, another meeting location has been added, and that is at the Atlantic Public Library. The meetings will be held February 26th from 6 to 9 p.m., and they're part of the process for making rules in state government. At each meeting, DNR staff will facilitate a discussion about what went well last fall, what didn't, and what changes hunters and trappers would like to see for this fall. The discussions, along with the data that the Wildlife Bureau collects on harvest and population numbers, will be used to develop recommendations for any rule changes this fall. Any changes must be approved by the Natural Resources Commission and then go back to the public for further comment before taking effect next fall. The Adair and Guthrie County Emergency Management Agencies will be hosting their joint 2014 Storm Spotter class at the Menlo Community Center March the 19th, beginning at 7 p.m. According to Rob Kemp, coordinator for the agencies, the class is free and open to the public. The next week, March 28th through the 24th, has been designated as Severe Weather Awareness Week in Iowa, and you'll be hearing more about that coming up as we get closer to the week of March 24th through the 28th. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday the arrest of seven people over the weekend. On Monday, 35-year-old Byron Lee Brandon of Pacific Junction was arrested at the Sheriff's Office on a warrant for second-degree theft. His bond was set at $5,000. On Sunday, deputies arrested 29-year-old Kenton Jarvis Schooling of Council Bluffs on a charge of driving under suspension. His bond was set at $300. 32-year-old Aaron Catherine Hausen of Villisca was arrested Sunday for being a fugitive from justice. She was held without bond. 43-year-old Robert Joe Coddington of Red Oak was arrested Sunday for possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and unlawful possession of prescription drugs. His bond was set at $2,300. And 39-year-old Terry Ahearns, along with 26-year-old Letta Marie Stogdale, both of Red Oak, were arrested Sunday for unlawful possession of prescription drugs. Bond was set at $1,000 each. Finally, last Friday, deputies in Mills County arrested 32-year-old Justin Wright of Glenwood on a warrant for a probation violation. His bond was set at $1,000. Cass County Auditor Dale Sunderman reports the first day for Democratic and Republican candidates for county offices to file nomination papers in the office of the Cass County Auditor is next Monday, March the 3rd, and the last day to file is Wednesday, March 26th. Nomination papers can be circulated prior to the first date for filing, as well as during the filing period. Nomination papers and candidate information are available at the County Auditor's Office and from the Iowa Secretary of State's website at www.sos.state.ia.us. Here are the county positions that will appear on the Cass County ballot in the 2014 primary. And that includes the District 2 Supervisor, District 3 County Supervisor, the County Attorney's position, County Recorder, and County Treasurer. For more information, contact Dale Sunderman, Cass County Auditor at 243-4570 or stop by the courthouse. A supervisor overseeing Iowa's criminal investigation into potential voter fraud says more than 80 cases are still being reviewed by local prosecutors. Adam DeCamp, a special agent in charge with the Division of Criminal Investigation, said Monday that agents completed 245 investigations since September, resulting in 15 felony cases. He says the DCI has referred findings in more than 80 additional cases to county attorney's office and is waiting decisions on whether more charges will be filed. DeCamp says the investigation ended February 13th, but agents will help see through any prosecutions that are currently pending. Iowa Secretary of State Matt Schultz had said earlier this month that 26 people have been charged during the controversial two-year investigation. He says he'll issue a report next month detailing his findings. Marionette Miller Meeks says she'll seek the Republican nomination to Iowa's 2nd Congressional District in her third try for the House seat. Miller Meeks announced Sunday night that she'd seek the seat now held by Democrat Dave Loebsack. Miller Meeks of Ottumwa ran against Loebsack and lost in 2010 and 2008 as well. In announcing her campaign, she called Washington a dysfunctional mess that needs someone with her experience to bring people together. She also criticized the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. Miller Meeks is an ophthalmologist and for 3 years headed the Iowa Department of Public Health. She's a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves and served as the first woman president of the Iowa Medical Society. She plans to hold events throughout the district both Wednesday and Thursday as she gets her campaigning underway. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, survivors say suspected Islamic militants have killed dozens of students in a pre-dawn attack at a co-ed college in northeastern Nigeria. Survivors say a locked hotel was set on fire and students who escaped through windows were shot or had their throats slit. Some were burned alive. Some teachers estimate about 40 students were killed in this morning's assault. It's the latest in a string of attacks blamed on the Islamic extremist group Boko Haram. Officials in Pakistan say hundreds of families have fled tribal areas near the Afghan border, near where the Air Force has been targeting Taliban insurgents for more than a week. Military and intelligence officials say jets and helicopter gunships killed nearly 25 insurgents in strikes today. The U.S. Senate expects to vote today on whether to advance a bill that would expand health, education, and other benefits for veterans and their families. It's expected to win the 60 votes needed to allow debate to begin on the legislation, but its fate is unclear. Republicans feel the measure is too costly and adds too much money to the deficit. The measure would cost $21 billion over the next decade. And a 9-year-old boy who was named Detroit's honorary police chief for a day while fighting leukemia has died. Javon Felton died Monday at Children's Hospital in Detroit. The fourth grader was diagnosed with leukemia in April. Javon had always wanted to be a Detroit police officer, and his wish was granted January 31st when he donned a blue SWAT uniform and arrived at police headquarters by helicopter. Police tell the Detroit News that funeral arrangements are pending. News time is 8:10.
I told you this house was too good to be true. We haven't even been here a month, and the furnace won't start, the toilet keeps backing up, and the bathtub has a constant drip.
I told you I will fix everything this weekend.
No, that's what you said last weekend before the toilet broke. And remember the last time you tried to fix the furnace? Yeah, the fire department had to come, and we were the laughingstock of the whole town. Seriously, if you don't call Bob today, I'm going to stay with my parents.
Hi, this is Bob at Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, your local train dealer in Fontenelle. Let me help you keep the fire burning in your marriage and not in your basement by completing all those honey-do lists for you. No job is too big or small when it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing. Just call me at 1-877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Nettie Bell Artlip, age 90, of Elliott, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Nettie Bell Artlip will be today at 11 o'clock at the Elliott Church of Christ. Nelson Boylan, Lorette Funeral Chapel in Red Oak, has the arrangements. Jerome Speed Cullis, age 67, of Harlan, died Sunday at his home. A massive Christian burial service for Speed Cullis will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Margie Roner, age 89, who's formerly a Fontenelle, died Saturday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Margie Roner will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. William Steele, age 84, of Anita, died Saturday at Caring Acres. Funeral services for William Steele will be held March the 5th at 10:30 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Gladys Hall, age 91, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Monday at the Heritage House. Services for Gladys Hall are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Linda Shea, age 65, of Atlantic, died Saturday in a car accident north of town. Services for Linda Shea are currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Henson reporting.